Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Our topic is a carryover from really yesterday's conversation, as we're really going to unpack next steps in the process of healing and overcoming grief and tragedy. Joining us again today is author, speaker, podcaster, coach, and repurposer Davey Blackburn. Yesterday, Davey vulnerably shared about the trauma and tragedy he experienced a little over 8 years ago now on November 10th, 2015, when his wife Amanda was murdered within their home. However, Davey did not allow this tragedy to cause him fleeing from God, but rather fleeing to him. Davey, my friend, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Absolutely, Zach. My honor.
So excited again to dive deeper into the midst of your testimony, your story, and what God is continuing to do with it all across the world. Reflecting back on yesterday's conversation, just imagining what the trauma and the tragedy was like for you personally, It made me think of the inevitable question that I think a lot of people have, which is when they feel like they've hit rock bottom, Davey, where are they supposed to go from there, right? Wow. How do they actually stand back up, and how do they begin taking steps forward? To the listener out there who maybe feels like they're in the depth of despair, Davey, what were some of your first steps to finding hope and healing again?
Yeah, it's a really great question. You know, I think one of the things, and we talked about this last time, is you've got to begin to lean into those triggers. You got to run toward the roar. I think that is the absolute first step, because that's the scariest step to take. But once you begin to do that, I think you have to begin to understand, too, some of the emotions that you're experiencing and what God might be speaking to in those emotions. And so, you know, we said this last time that trauma tends to disorient us. It gives us a skewed perspective of who God is, who we are, and what this world is like. And so it can cause us to begin to grow bitter toward people, toward ourselves, toward God. And I think that's one of the biggest things that you have to begin to wrestle with. Is this causing a root of resentment in me? Or am I actually embracing, I know that sounds like a really difficult thing to do, but accepting and embracing, surrendering to the process that God has for me. You know, in my own story, forgiveness was a huge part of the work that I had to do, and I had to wrestle with the Lord. It's a long process. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You're not going to wake up one day and be like, I feel like forgiving, especially in such a perpetration like this. I mean, such a heinous kind of crime that had been done to our family. And so what I had to realize is forgiveness is a decision. It's a daily decision. And so every day I had to wake up and make that decision. And those kinds of small decisions, incrementally, they make a lot, they compound over time, you know? So to the person who's not wrestling with forgiveness, but you're going, well, what's the small decision I need to make? Well, maybe you just need to wake up and make your bed every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's all you need to do. Instead of trying to figure out all of these big, complicated steps to take, it's just, okay, you know what? I'm having trouble getting out of my bed, and so I'm just going to wake up, I'm going to make my bed, and I'm going to try to do a little bit today. That's it, incrementally. And so those, again, they compound themselves. But for me, as I began to make the decision every day to walk in forgiveness, God began to illuminate to me or reveal to me what forgiveness truly is. And for me, understanding that forgiveness is not abdicating these men of the responsibility or the consequences of their actions. That's not what it is. It's actually trusting God for justice. That's what it is. When you boil it all down to it, it's saying, I'm refusing to take justice or the illusion that I can take justice into my own hands. I'm going to trust God that He is a better avenger than I am. He says this, vengeance is mine. And that He is going to render justice perfectly and finally in His time. And so that frees us up from having to carry that kind of resentment. It says, God, I trust you, whether on this earth or whether we find earthly justice or not, which, by the way, earthly justice is always going to be imperfect, no matter what system you're in, no matter. But whether we find justice on this earth or not, God, I trust that you're going to be the ultimate judge and arbiter. And what I call that is I call that redemptive vengeance. Mm. Because what it does is now it pulls out of me all of those feelings of bitterness, resentment that I'm hanging on to. And it actually replaces what the Bible calls, it replaces it with weapons of righteousness. So it's forgiveness and love and mercy. And so now as I'm purporting that rather than bitterness, now I'm being life and light to other people. They're experiencing the hope and the joy of Jesus. And guess who's angry about that? The real enemy behind all of this. Yeah. So forgiveness is one of those things where, like, you're taking this battle back into the spiritual and going, okay, the real enemy is not the three men that killed my wife. It's the mastermind behind all evil.
Right.
He's the one that masterminded all of this, right? And so the action that I take then and daily incrementally deciding to step into is going, okay, rather than fighting fire with fire, I'm going to fight it with water, so to speak. Rather than fighting bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness with the same, I'm going to fight it with the weapons of righteousness. And now I'm getting redemptive vengeance against the real enemy. And then it begins to grow you in compassion, which is strange. You begin to grow in compassion for other people and empathy for other people, but also for the people who have wronged you.
That's right.
And I can't explain it other than the Holy Spirit of God, but this is the way that God has called us into. Mm. When Jesus says, you know, hey, when your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. Mm. Like, wait, what? I'm supposed to just have, not just have mercy on my enemy, but also grace.
Right.
And then we remember that we were enemies of God. Mm. And Jesus gave us mercy, not giving us what we deserve, and grace, giving us above and beyond unmerited favor that we could never deserve. Mm. So you start to realize if I've experienced that kind of forgiveness and I'm walking in that kind of forgiveness as someone who has been a beneficiary of it, now I can't help but extend it as well. So God will lead you in that kind of stuff as you find yourself in that rock bottom space, no matter what the emotion is.
Oftentimes I've heard it said that when we're at rock bottom, we recognize that God is the rock.
That's right.
At the bottom. And I think I agree with you in that sense of when you're going through a challenging time and you're seeking hope and healing, sometimes that first step really does involve forgiveness. Because like you're mentioning, forgiveness only takes one. Reconciliation may take two. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness only takes one, and forgiveness is freeing, not just for the one being forgiven, but more importantly for the one doing the forgiving.
That's right.
Dave, you know, as you go through challenges like this in life, where life just delivers these unexpected knockout blows, sending us to the canvas of the ring we call life, oftentimes a lot of people sometimes try to, you know, just get over it type of thing, right?
Yeah.
They try to almost make it seem as if the grief was never there in the first place.
Yeah.
But I don't think we just move on, especially from tragedies like this in our life. But I do believe that God, in his unique and divine nature, he can almost build a bridge over the grief that you're going through so that way you can begin to live life again.
Yep.
For you, my friend, as that bridge was built, as God was continuing to walk and just with you and through you in the midst of this tragedy, I'd be interested in knowing, because a lot of people, they'd never open up their heart again, right? They're so hurt, they're so broken. But what was this process like for you, and when was it that you really felt like God was restoring these pieces that were shattered back together and just allowed you again to open that heart again and even consider loving again?
Yeah, yeah. That's such a great question. There are a couple of things that, you know, led me on that journey. You described it really well as a bridge. I always liken it to like a flesh wound, like when you feel like life has just cut you open. Yeah. And what's really interesting about that is life will cut you open, but Jesus is a really skilled surgeon, and he'll go in, and while you're cut open, he'll also remove some things that it's like, okay, we found some cancer in here, so we're going to like go ahead and remove that too. And we're going to, he's so good. He's not going to leave the things in you that are going to end up killing you later too, right? Metaphorically speaking. And then he sews you back up. And now you've got this flesh wound that if people touch it, right, it hurts. It can be like, you know, but over time what it becomes is a scar, and that scar tells a story. So now I can talk about these things, and people are like, oh my gosh, it must be so hard to talk about it. I'm like, no, I've talked about it a lot. Because, and now this is a scar. I can point to this and say, hey, this is part of my life. This is always going to be part of my life. I'm never going to move on from this, but I can show you and tell you what God has been doing in my life and how he's been faithful. Look at my scar, right? And I think it points to like the resurrected body of Jesus, right? Like, hey, put your hands, and it, just something so beautiful about that, that I wonder even if in heaven, we're not going to forget all of the pain we went through, but there's going to be this beautiful, as you say, bridge over our pain where we all just bask in the glory of the faithfulness of God in the midst of our pain. And it's so healing and restorative. And so I think we can experience that here on earth as well. And as God begins to move us forward, I think one of the critical parts of moving us forward is this idea of purpose. And anecdotally, for me, what that looked like is I was meeting all of these people who were, I was essentially borrowing their faith. I mean, God just, in such an incredible way, brought people around me, just really heroes of the faith, unsung heroes, people who were known, but they were just pouring into me. And so I had been blogging at the time, and there were a lot of people reading that blog. But I talk a lot faster than I can write. And so I was like, why don't we start a podcast and I ask these people that I'm borrowing faith from to come on my podcast and share their story? And it was amazing. So we started the Nothing Is Wasted podcast, and now we're over 300 episodes. But as I was doing those interviews, what I found is I was discovering a purpose or a repurposing in my pain. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about when you partner with God and go, you know what, this pain isn't just about me. This is about helping other people. As I'm healing, I need to help other people as well. It gets you up out of your like wallowing sorrow, mm-hmm. sets your eyes on something, the pain of other people, and you have this increase of empathy that can be such a ministry for other people. And so as I was doing these interviews, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, and I'm being healed yeah. while I'm interviewing these other people. So then as I'm kind of moving in that, I'm starting to realize that there were some common threads with everybody's interviews. It's, people are sharing their stories about, you know, Revelation 12 says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I'm seeing, wow, there's some things that are like common to everybody. No matter what their story is, it seems like they all went through these particular parts of the journey. And so at the time, I was still pastoring the church. But then I put that on pause. I end up, we're going through this journey, I end up, there's this girl that starts coming to my church. We met at a CrossFit gym that we were both at working out at, and then a bunch of the folks in the CrossFit gym started coming to the church, and she decides to come to the church, but she avoided me like the plague. I'd been praying. You know, I was 30 years old when Amanda passed away, and so here I am now, 31, 32, and I'm going, God, I know that, you know, I'm probably going to remarry. I can't imagine this, but if you would bring me another wife, would she love you more than she loves me? Mm-hmm. Would she love Weston as if he were her own? Mm-hmm. Would she love me? That'd be great, too. I'd love to enjoy. And would she love Amanda? Mm-hmm. Because I knew that so much of the purpose work that I was doing, the ministry I was doing, was so tethered to Amanda's story. And I knew that whoever this person was, theoretically, they'd need to be so confident in who they were in Christ that they could walk with me in that. So here I meet this girl at the gym. All of a sudden, my heart wakes up. Didn't think it could happen. I didn't know anything about this girl, though. Yep. So I'm like, find out she's talking about some KB concert that she went to. So I'm like, oh, Christian rap. Okay, yep. Maybe she's a believer. I don't know. Right. For 3 months, she avoids me. I'm just trying to get in a conversation. She starts coming to my church, still avoids me. Mm-hmm. But I'm turning in the manuscript of my book in January of 2017 going, God, what's my redemption story? I know you've walked me through this valley, but how are you going to restore this? Mm-hmm. And I walk into the gym. She's walking out. And I'm like, oh, and I decide to take up the courage to ask her a question. Like, I'm gonna corner her right now. And it was very pastoral, I assure you. And I said, you've been coming to my church for like 3 months. What's your Jesus story? That's a, you know, tell me more about yourself. So she starts telling me her story. And what I keened in on was the fact that she had done missions work after college. And she was serving in our inner city ministry that we had started because as a response to the crime that, you know, had taken Amanda's life. So she's serving in this. I'm like, oh, is that why you're serving? She goes, well, my parents live in that neighborhood that we're serving in. I'm like, wow, that's a dangerous neighborhood. You mean by choice? She said, yeah. She said, you know, Davey, I'm really connected to your story, probably in ways that you won't feel comfortable with. I'm not sure if I should tell you this. And I'm like, wait, what? She said, so my stepdad, my mom, they live in that neighborhood. My stepdad's a chaplain for the Marion County prison system. And he's been assigned to the three men that killed your wife. So let me try to unpack. We don't have a whole lot of time for me to unpack this, but you recognize I'm in the middle of asking God, God, I know my story is not just about me. I know it's about helping other people as well. I know, as I would say, my redemption story is not just for me. It's for the redemption of other people. Yeah. And here I am now asking God, what's my redemption story? And then bam, I get smacked, confronted with this thing where this girl who's woken my heart up, I don't know anything about her. It feels like some Holy Spirit sense of like, I'm intrigued by her, attracted to her. And now she's that connected to my story where her stepdad is ministering to the men that killed my wife. I wish I could say something profound came out of my mouth right there. All I said was, do you want to go grab some dinner sometime? I can't quite describe it other than I knew that God was in it.
Yeah.
And he was inviting me into a new chapter of the story. And I think that's part of what this moving forward thing is all about. It's not that we're moving on. It's just that God starts to invite us into new seasons and new chapters. He's got a new work for you. You know, it says this in Isaiah 43, right? Forget the former things. He doesn't mean forget it, right? Because so much throughout Scripture, he's always telling us to remember what he's done, right? But he's saying, let's not let those former things, as Paul would say, cause us to be encumbered to where we can't run this race. We can't move forward because God's got something new for us, right? And that was really what I had to begin to wrestle with. It's like, okay, God, I got to open myself up to this new thing. And my fear was it's never going to be like what the old, my best days are behind me. And the truth is God's so gracious and good to heal us from the wounds of our past and to bring us beautiful redemption stories where our best days are always yet to come in Christ. And I can't describe it other than it's not like these days are better than these days. They're just so different.
That's right.
And they're so full of life and full of joy and full of purpose and full of hope and still full of hard.
That's right.
It's not like all of a sudden it's not hard. But that's the beautiful thing about how God moves us into this next phase of purpose. So finally, I convinced her to go on a date with me. We started dating, and at the end of 2017, we got married and blended our families together. She was a single mom, so her daughter, Natalia, my son, Weston, and then we now have one of our own, two, Cohen. So Natalia's 10, Weston's 9 now, and Cohen's 4.
Wow, Davey, what a beautiful story, like you said, of redemption and of restoration. And yeah, as you kind of laid out that tapestry of what God has done, and clearly his fingerprints were interwoven throughout that entire story and repurposing again your pain into this newfound sense of purpose. And as you mentioned, doesn't make life, you know, better than it once was.
No.
Still has a lot of hard, still has a lot of challenges, but yet God has given you Christy and your three children to navigate life with today.
Yeah.
And Davey, for you guys, as you continually minister to others, you've mentioned now several times, but the mantra that you live by, the name of your ministry, is nothing is wasted.
Yep.
I'd be interested in you just sharing with our listeners, as you've gone throughout the highs and the lows, the roller coaster ride of this journey that you call life, what are some of the things that you've recognized and really learned about the unconditional love and character of God?
Goodness, man, we have like 3 hours to talk about this, unpack the character of God that we learn through pain. I mean, I think that God is a healer. I think that's one of the biggest things. I mean, I think what I love about what God told Moses, he said, I am, right? And so what that means is he is what we need in every moment. And I think there's so many times we try to satiate or satisfy the longings in our heart, the God-sized void in our heart, with other things that this world offers. And it doesn't have to be inherently bad things that I'm talking about. I'm talking about like neutral things that become, they're like the lesser G gods or idols that become, they sit on the throne of our life because they're providing us some kind of temporary satisfaction. And what I've really learned about the character and nature of God through all of this is that he is everything that we need him to be in that moment. He's a provider. He's a healer. He's a comforter. He is the great I am. And he always will walk with us in this. And so as much as we're tempted to try to sit to create these maladaptive coping mechanisms in our pain, those are always going to fall short. The world overpromises and underdelivers, but God is always going to deliver. And even in the times that he seems silent or he seems absent, he is still working behind the scenes. And so that's probably the biggest thing overarching that I've learned about the character and nature of God is that he will write a beautiful story in our lives if we surrender to his plan and his process. So now nothing is wasted. What we do is we help people with that. Our I guess, kind of vision statement with the ministry is we want to help you partner with God to take back your story no matter what you've gone through. And the way we do that is through kind of our trifecta, if you will. It's our content, community, and coaching. We believe that at the convergence of those three things, you're going to experience transformation. So we have a whole lot of online content. The seminal part of that is the podcast. But then we have a membership platform. We do a lot of master classes with experts in the field in certain areas of trauma, different pain points. We've got an online community where we connect people across the world in particular targeted pain points. So you may be going through something where you're like, nobody understands what I'm going through. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5, let's remember that saints all over the world are experiencing the same suffering that we are. And that's what we're trying to do with our online platform is connect you with other people who are going through the same exact thing that you're going through, whether it's sexual betrayal of a spouse or whether it's divorce or whether it's loss of a child or loss of a spouse or whatever the pain point is, the trauma you're experiencing, other people are experiencing it and other people are wanting to walk through it in a God-honoring way. So we connect people on that community platform, like a big, massive social network in some ways. And then we have coaches that they specifically have gone through each one of those different things. And so we would match somebody if they want one-on-one coaching with that particular pain point. So if someone comes to us and they had just lost a child, we connect them with one of our child loss coaches who've been certified through our Pain to Purpose curriculum, which I'll talk about in just a second. Yes. They are trauma-informed, and then they're able to walk with them. They've been on that – the requirements, they've been down that road, so they're able to walk with that person one-on-one. The way that we deposit that entire ecosystem into the local church, because we're a ministry that's passionate about the local church, and we're passionate about helping local churches create environments where people can heal. And so the way that we deposit that ecosystem is through a course curriculum called Pain to Purpose. And the best way for me to describe it, the best frame of reference is think of it like the Financial Peace University of Pain and Trauma.
That's right.
And so it's typically a 12-week curriculum that churches use either in their small group semesters or they use in a class setting. And adjacent to that course, as people are going through it, they get access to that whole ecosystem. So it just really buffers their healing experience. And so it becomes, you know, counseling is an incredible thing. And we are constantly telling people, hey, you need to go to a counselor, you need to go to a counselor. There's a lot of drop-off rate that pastors experience when they try to refer people to counseling.
Absolutely.
And people never make it to that for whatever reason. So we're trying to provide that stopgap so that we can go, hey, you know, let's get them in this environment. And that way you can catch them in your local body. And the minute, you know, we can equip your body, your local believers to minister to the body, right? Mm-hmm. And you can also get them into the counseling that they need. Mm-hmm. And so it's a partnership. It is kind of a bridge between the local church counseling and making sure that people have environments within the local church where they can heal.
Wow, Davey, let me tell you what a calling that is, because like you said, to educate, equip, and encourage the local church to be able to come alongside of those that are in need, that are going through tragedy, trauma, so they can provide them the safety to heal,
that's right.
It's necessary.
Right.
Davey, let me ask you this. We only have a couple moments left. What are the URLs people can go to find out more about you or also to enroll in that course?
Yeah, nothingiswasted.com will take you to basically everything. Again, the course is called Pain to Purpose. Mm-hmm. But at nothingiswasted.com, you can find everything about our podcast, our online community, our coaching, all of that stuff. And then I can be found on Instagram. I'm fairly active there, Davey Blackburn, DaveyBlackburn.
Davey, my friend, again, you are a blessing, not just to the local church, but to countless individuals. I can't thank you enough for allowing God to repurpose your pain into something greater, into something good. Thank you for your willingness and your time in joining us today, my friend.
Thanks, Zach.
You've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family with Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton. We love being a part of your life. For more information, visit timclinton.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.